can remember every strike. I was 4 years old when we lived in Maltby, South Yorkshire. I've only ever had one job in my life at Snowdown Colliery for 48 years, but my father, his life was totally different. He had jobs and jobs and jobs. We worked at Arworth, Stainforth, Thorn, Maltby, Denby in Cadeby, and in Notts and Derby, and it was the Spencer Union that kept him on the move.
Like my father, like Joe's grandfather. I mean, in 1931, my dad left Wales to come up to Kent. He first worked at Betsanger, believe it or not, and then he lived in Deal. And he moved on to Dover, and then he started at Snowdown. I mean, the stories he's told me about when they come from Wales, from different environment of pits, then coming to Kent, he said there was nothing to see 40 or 50 men carried out on stretchers through the heats and things like that. And regarding to why the likes of my father and other old boys that walked there for work, it wasn't just work. They also got bloody blacked. They got blacked because they were militant sort of people and they stuck up for their rights.
Well, my mum's side, they're from Northumberland. My granddad, he walked down, and my dad's side was originally from Ireland, but he moved from Ireland to Wales. Then from Wales, with Bryn's daddy, he came up to Kent for a job. We've heard the stories of what our granddads and dads have said, like, you know. So it's more or less inbred into you that, you know, they've fought for what they've got for us, like, you know. So we're not just going to chuck it out the window, because they've fought 10 times as hard as what we're doing now.
I always remember when I was younger, I was about 6 or 7, I always wanted to work down the pit. Because my granddad, he was well known, and he used to sort of talk about it, the old days and everything, and it used to fascinate me. And then a few years later, when my dad started working down the pit, he'd start talking about it and the differences, and I just always wanted to go down and see it for myself. And ever since I can remember, like, all my uncles were miners, and I always felt such respect and admiration for them. It's just accepted that the lads go down the pit and the women come at the factories, because that's about the only thing that is around the NA. Because there's been a few factories closed, like the industrial estate and everything. Because if the pits did close, then I think that'd be the end of the village, really.
People are banding together. We're nearly like kibbutzers now. We eat communally, in and all. It's smashing the atmosphere. People are going out and talking to people that they might have known for 20 years, but never really talked to. But they're talking to one another. All the lads at the pit know one another. All the wives are getting to know one another. And there's a wonderful community spirit happening in Yorkshire.
Well, same set, them villages we're in, every shop in that village is donated. Everybody's clubbing round, you know, Labour parties, all different organisations, are raising money, clubs are having turns on, you know, they're willing to go up and put a show on for nothing, and all the money's going towards miners' strike fund. And it's absolutely solid, the community, the banks are giving, you know, even the Conservative Club in our village is good, you know, everybody, they can't do enough for you. And same as down London, people can't do enough for you down here. They talk to you, they find out that you're not what papers are saying, you know, and you're spreading word to them, and next day they're bringing you food, you know, they're talking to you, coming and visiting you. You know, same as said, everybody's clubbing around. Once you know what you like down here, they just like up home. And I wish Thatcher and them could just come up to our village, just like Pete says. And she'd have a different idea what she's going to do with us. But, you know, we're sorry, we're going to win.
My father, he walked from Wales in 1926 to come to Kent for a job in the mines. He was 62 and he took early redundancy because he had a slight heart attack. And he died last year, and when they did an autopsy on him, they found that he had pneumoconiosis, which could have contributed to his heart attack when he was 62. And we had to fight for 9 months to get any compensation for his illness for my mother.
If you worked in certain parts of the country in coldness, like Wales, the coal down there, as it gets into your lungs, it hardens. It's like concrete. And there's no expansion with it, and you can't cough it up. Like, some coal is soft. Cough some of it up. But there's other coal you can't. And I don't know how long about 30 years, 20 or 30 years, I think they've had pensions for this, but it's been very hard to get. And they've still been, over the last 10 years, they've still been struggling to get miners' pensions for this.
I'm not too badly off because I get a disability pension, but I had to lose a bloody eye to do that, and I never got an halfpenny under common law. I had three young children. In 1953, I had three young children under the age of five. Not one had started school. And all I got as a result, all I got was a bloody downgraded job. You see, Scargill has repeatedly asked the members, not just about jobs and a wage increase, do we want bigger pensions? Do we want rate retention? And now we know that it was the right thing to put jobs and the bloody wage increase on the same ballot paper, wasn't it?
When people say, well, why do you want to work in the dust, or why do you want to work in the heat? Again, we go back to the community. I mean, our fathers were miners, our brothers are miners, so we're born and bred into the pit. I can always think back when I first started down the pit. I mean, I was chuffed because I was going to be a miner, like, you know, like my dad and things like that. We're used to the environment of the pit. I mean, if you've got a lad saying, like, that hadn't come from no mining background, he sticks out like a sore thumb in the pit, doesn't he? He does, though, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It's true. The pit is so hard to explain to people that's never been down here. But I work on the rip. We make the roadways. Where the coal is extracted by the machine in front, they leave the what we call the muck. Well, to other people, they'll call it rock. And what we do, we set 14-foot arches, and that makes the roadway. I've been a shearer driver where I've cut the coal off. I've been on the face where I've pulled chops in. I've been back ripping, dinting. Well, I've been in the pit 21 years now, and more or less like an odd job, man. Like.
I'm an electrician down there. My job specifically is anything, you see, from breakdowns to installation. On the coal face, it's all right, really. You're working in more or less a 3-foot seam, which is about as high as this table. But they do go up to about there, I should think about 4 foot we're working in. But it varies, you know, you can go much lower than that, or you can go a bit higher than that. There are parts, it all depends where you are. It could be wet in some parts, which it mostly is in Snowdown. It is a very wet pit. At Snowdown, it's more or less all hot wherever you are. You're working in your underpants. Tillminston, you can be working in your underpants, and you sent another job 50 yards away, we have to put your donkey jacket on.
I'm a maintenance worker on 53's unit. The unit that wanted to shut down prior to the strike. There's six in our team. And we go around on three shifts, you know, days, afters and nights. At one time, they used to produce coal on all three shifts, but they cut a shift out, and they just produce coal on two shifts now, and we also go on the what they call the dead shift to do maintenance work. You know, it's a deep mine, like, it's warm and dusty, and I work on my hands and knees because the face, you know, the face is really low. It's not a pleasant job, like. It's probably on the job I'm likely to do.
I'm just on haulage. I transport materials to faces, and then sometimes I'm on buttons, you know, I run conveyor belts, what coal come off, which is what one of the lowest paid jobs down pit. I've been about a year and 2 months down pit. So I only got my job because my dad works at Frickley, and if he'd have took his redundancy, then I wouldn't have had a job. You know, he'd have got the money and set up my job. Well, that's mainly, you know, when my grandfather's worked at pit as well. So that's why we're fighting a lot of youngsters. because I realised what Holden End have done for us in getting us the jobs, you know, and getting a good union behind us so the governments and the NCB can't walk all over us.
We want no pit closures, we shall not be moved. We want no pit closures, we shall not be moved, just like a tree that's standing by the water side. We shall not be moved. Victory to the miners, we shall not be moved. Victory to the miners, we shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's standing by the water side, we shall not be moved.
Can I just explain what the strike's all about? Because a lot of people have got lost over the strike. We have had, in the coal industry, for quite a number of years, a set procedure for closing a colliery. The coal board has come along to the area panel, that's the union at area level, and said, we wish to close this colliery, for whatever reasons. The area panel have then looked at the reasons and sent our own geologists to the mine, assessed the reasons, and given us a report back. After we've had this report, we've then gone to a branch meeting at that colliery, wherever they've said they're going to close, and looked at the situation. If it's on exhaustion, there's no answer to it. We've got to close it. But if it's on economic grounds, and we can prove that it can be economically viable to turn that pit round, we don't accept that. But the coal board suddenly, around Christmas, washed their hands of this procedure. Without even negotiating with the union, they came along one Saturday morning and said, we're going to close Cartonwood Pit. And the union says, well, we're going to do our procedure. It says, you've no need to bother, it's next Monday. So what we're fighting for is procedures that's already laid down to be adhered to. And it's coal board that's broke the word. It's them that's telling the lies, and it's them that's broke all the agreements. And that's why Arthur keeps saying, we want to go back to Plan for Coal, because that's your Plan for Coal. I would like to stress a point on the face closures that's been caused by the men being on strike. At our pit, and there are one, two, three, four, five men sat here who work at Frickley Colliery. At our pit, about 2 to 3 weeks prior to the strike, we were having serious union meetings at our lodge, or branch as we call them in Yorkshire, about the closure of 53s. We know that 53's coal face has 3 to 5 years life left in it, in coal. It's a long way to go, but it's suffering a lot of geological conditions, and they didn't like the unit. The coal board's wanting to concentrate all their efforts in a new seam that we've opened up. Now, very conveniently, during the strike, that unit has closed. The reason our pit can't pay at the moment possibly is because of that seam. Because the dam manager's borrowed the money on the open market to develop that seam. He's not been given money, he's had to borrow it. And he's borrowed between 28 and 40 million pounds. He won't tell us the actual figures. But he's got the damned interest to pay on. On the 1st of April every year, he has to pay the damned interest on it. So we've £2 million lost before we even start the financial year, and that's on interest alone. Now if you times this by the amount of colliers in the country that's being redeveloped, when they talk about ploughing money into the coal industry, then what they say with the tongue-in-cheek over there, because all they're doing is ploughing their own damn money, not through money markets, and making us pay interest on it. Maggie Thatcher gives none to nobody. And this is what's happening in the colliers at the moment. £280 million deficit. It didn't have £280 million going into damn coffers at bloody City. That's what's happening. We're keeping blokes down here who've never seen a colliery in their life out there, off of our shovel.
Over at Snowdown Colliery in the heart of Kent, Tilderston, 4 mile away.
Yes.
Bettshanger, 6-7 miles.
7 miles. Well, when it first started, it was made by Pearson, Dorman, Long, and they owned a big dock area out at Richborough, and they invested into the coal industry and sinking the mines. I think it was in 1914 when they started to sink the Snowdon Colliery. And then I think it was way in the 46 when they made them nationalised.
47, yeah. And they transferred to Tilmaston and Betsanger, about 450, to cut the workforce down. And so we could develop the lower seam. On the present level we're on at the moment is a number 7 seam. We've got another 2 seams below us, number 8 and number 9 seam. We're developing, which is driving headings down from the present level to number 9 seam.
We keep it in a fault where we are at the moment. If they would put the money in to push through that fault, then we would be producing more coal in the area we are now. We would no need to go to the seam we are going down to. But this was the only other alternative they would give to us, is to go for this new seam and develop. They wouldn't give us the money to go through the fault.
Don't know what's going to happen with the pit being on the hit list. The investment to start off was £3.2 million to go down to the lower seam, head it out, head out the face, and see what quality the coal is and how good the ground is itself. And apparently they don't want even us to do that. They chuck the paper at you, saying that's how much you've spent over this year. And all that is down on that, whereas they've had no coal for it. But because you can't produce coal while you're developing. They bring it out on paper, the statement, that you're that much overspent and the management wastes money, no material, new material being supplied, allowing disintegration of an industry, really.
They can juggle the fact of the figures about as they want. There's one thing that is quite obvious on our point of view as electricians down there, that the equipment we get, it's already been used, it's all second-hand stuff. Most of it. Sometimes you do get new equipment, but to get even spare parts for them, you have to order and it can take weeks to get through. So that's one way where we're finding it hard to extract the coal. But also, the cost of the equipment, we could design it ourselves. We have got the men that could do it. But they won't do that. They buy off companies which are charging the coal board, extortionate prices like they do in the armed services. For a spare part that they know is going to break down regularly, they slam the price up. Some of the prices down there is unbelievable, that we've found out of late anyway.
The miners have never said, and I stress that point, never said, they're against pits closing on exhaustion grounds. Because we know that you can't keep a pit open if there's no coal left there. But on economic grounds, whose economics are we following? It may cost about 25 to 30 millions to shut a pit with the dole that you have to pay out, with the people that lose their jobs in the service industries around it. So if you put 20 million into a pit, you might be able to keep the damn thing alive and everybody be happy and earning good money. Surely that's on pure economic grounds. There's grounds for keeping pits like Cottonwood open.
Let him go! 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 Let him go!
Let him go! Let him go! Let him go! Get off of him! Get the hell off of him! What are you trying to do?
This attempt to return to work, it's been nationwide. I've had meetings in Nottinghamshire, Yorkshire, even in Durham, Kent, South Wales. They've been all over the country with this attempt to get the miners to return to work. And as far as we're concerned in Kent, it's failed absolutely, because the people who have attempted to come back to work have served no useful purpose to the board whatsoever, and they're in actual fact, they're wasting board money. about this McGibbons character. He is a professional strike breaker. We know this from his activities at the Cowley Car Works in 1976, where he managed to break a strike and get rid of one of the leading T&G shop stewards at that place. Unfortunately, where the T&G fell down and where the trade union as a whole falls down is that this character was not reported as a strike breaker.
McGibbon's been on the local radio, he's been on national radio, he's been on local television and national television, not openly saying that he's being financed from elsewhere, but that's what he's been saying between the lines. We've fairly recently seen the situation where they fly-posted not only Kent but other counties with their organisation, with their phone number, their address printed on it, which has resulted in men working at Betsanga yesterday and Termiston yesterday. The coal board's involvement is they've encouraged it, they've aided it, and they've even allowed the situation where men are not working at the pit, they're here in workshops without any safety assistance, any safety equipment, they're in there. That's contravening the Act, which is an Act of Parliament. They're doing that blatantly. It's been a big police coal board organisation, and that's proved it with the buses and the amount of police and the way management's been involved within the situation. The men that was around that pit gate yesterday were just stood peaceably. A bus was approaching the pit gate, and the lads, not knowing what kind of a bus they were coming on, they saw the bus, they surged forward, and the police was telling them, come on, come and get them, come and get them. Having done that, they pushed the lads in a wedge fashion against the fence. The bus drew up alongside, all the police got off the bus and just waded into them. Five and six policemen to one man and beating them, literally beating them. Again, within that situation, the scab bus came along and into the pit. The manager even had the audacity, the gall, to approach the lads in them police buses, wagons, blood covering their faces, arms nearly ripped out of their sockets, and ask them, were they all right? And it was sick. Along with that police intimidation, a very serious situation took place in the pit village here last night in Elvington. The police virtually had a curfew from 8 o'clock last night, and they were keeping people even out of their own front gardens, telling them to go back in their houses. Nobody was allowed to walk the streets in Elvington last night. There was cars and police walking, motorbikes patrolling, and cars and vans with dogs patrolling the streets. Anybody that was seen on the streets was told to go in.
Got to be an old kind of job and an old kind in an old kind of calling, because attitudes have changed so much. You know, we can't go back on the same old footings. We just can't go back and speak to management nice. It's going to take years to get over this strike. When I started Corrie in 1957, I was shown some of the people that scabbed in 1926. And I make no apologies at using the word scab either. And I was shown the children of some of the people that scabbed in 1926. And I thought that was a little bit much for me, you know, because I'd not experienced it. But I assure you, I'll show everybody who was scabbed in 1984. I'll make a point of going and showing people who were scabbed in 1984. Because I think it's one of the worst things that they could have done. They've just been traitors to working class. We're a bit afraid in the mining industry that the government, and let's face it, we're dealing with the government, not with the coal board. That's all a farce that the coal board's in charge. The government are having a concentrated attack on the coal board. They have stressed that they're going to build umpteen numbers of nuclear power stations. Now 80% of our coal is burnt in power stations. And they're going to space power stations out, specifically, funnily enough, in the Trent Valley. And that's where most of the Nottinghamshire coal is burnt. Now they're going to phase these coal-fired power stations out at the Central Electricity Generating Board on economic grounds. But there's nobody yet been able to prove that it's cheaper to produce electricity by atomic power than coal. It's just not. It costs 10 times as much to produce it by atomic power, and it's about 5,000 times more unsafe than coal. I know coal's got its problems, but we were getting over them problems. I know that we're sending a lot of muck over to Sweden and we're killing a lot of their forests by its coal burn. But with that fluoridised bed that we got up at Drax Power Station, we'd overcome that problem. And it's sad to see that once we've just licked this problem on coal burn, that they're now going to phase them out. So we think that there's going to be no mining industry in this country if they carry on with the policy that they're carrying on now. There'll probably be about 5 super pits left by the turn of the century. So we've got to fight it, because our communities just can't stand the mines to close. I will say this as well. If a chap gets on train in London and thinks he's going to come up to Yorkshire and get off a train and walk up to pit and tell the manager to shut pit, then get back down on train and come down London and forget all about that he's just shut a pit down and thrown 2,000 people out of work, he's sadly mistaken, because he's not. We're not going to stand for it in Yorkshire. We're not going to do that, because they're our pits, they belong to us. As forefathers sunk them, as forefathers have worked in them, and we've just carried on tradition. And we want them pits for our kids as well.
I've got coal in my blood, and I always will have. It's a heritage. It belongs to us. It's our way of life, and we've got a right to live our lives. And it's all right, these Nottingham men saying, we've got a right to go to work. We've got a right for our men to go to work too. We've got a right for our men to have a job to go to. Four pits still open. Snowdown will close, and so will Tilmanston, and so will Bettsanger. And this is the idea, this is the ideal that we're fighting for. They won't close us, we won't allow them to, because we'll fight with everything we've got. I want my grandson's coming up 18 months, I want him to turn around and say, coal mining was good enough for my dad, coal mining was good enough for my granddad, it's going to be good enough for me. And I want there to be a pit there for him to go to. And with God's help, and the way we all feel about it, there will be. Okay?